BBC Essex
with Ettley George. BBC
Essex. In the next hour of the programme, warm welcome to you if you've just joined us on this rather wet day here in Essex. In the next hour of the programme, we'll be hearing about the first time that Marconi's radio was used to tell people that they were in dire danger. The first time an emergency signal was sent. And that led to the rescue of 1,600 people, the largest ever transfer of people from, sea transfer from one boat to another ever undertaken to this day. And we'll find out how it brought together the lives and the work of two men from Chelmsford. BBC
Essex. On digital.
Online.
On FM and AM.
Ettley George.
On BBC Essex.
100 years ago today, the work of two Chelmsford men helped to save the lives of over 1,600 people. The first ever wireless distress signal was sent out from the RMS Republic after it was rammed in fog in the Atlantic. How significant were those events of 100 years ago? Well, earlier I caught up with John Bowen, who's from the Chelmsford Amateur Radio Association, and he told me about that dramatic night.
The Royal Mail ship, the Republic, left New York on the 22nd at 4 o'clock and headed towards the Azores. But it met a tremendous fog during the night, and unfortunately it was rammed on the left-hand side to people who are not seafarers by the SS Florida, which was bringing 830 emigrants from Sicily. The Messina earthquake had killed 100,000 people, and the Americans had said to those survivors, you can come and have a new life in America. So they were on the boat, and unfortunately it was rammed at 5:30 in the morning.
So tell us a little bit about the signal that went out and why this, on this particular day, was so significant.
Well, Jack Binns, who was the radio officer, the Marconi radio officer, was in his bunk, and he was knocked out of his bunk by the force of the impact. So he went next door and switched on his transmitter only for a minute before all the power went off. The collision knocked out the generators, and that was the end of lighting and power. So he rewired his transmitter and sent out the important message, CQD, CQD, which was a Marconi emergency distress call. Now, that was picked up in Syosset, which is in Nantucket Island, by Jack Irvin, who had the graveyard shift between 12 o'clock and 8 o'clock. And his coal fire had burnt down, so he woke up with the cold, and then he heard the message, which meant that I'm in distress. So he answered it, and then a few minutes later, Jack Binn sent the actual directions of where he was, which was 40.17 north, 70 degrees west. Started the rescue.
Now, we'll talk about Henry Tattershall in just a moment, but I understand that not that long before, not that many years before, Marconi had only just established that radio could be used over a very short distance, but we're talking about a huge number of miles here.
The distance that we're talking about at the moment is about 100 miles. That they were only 100 miles off the shore, and it was a Marconi shore station, Syosset, that Marconi had set up. He'd set up all these stations all up and down the eastern seaboard for this sort of purpose.
Tell me about the involvement of Henry Tattershall then, a man from Chelmsford.
Well, the shore station sent in very much high power that the Republic was in trouble, and that was answered by about 12 ships. And the one which was the most appropriate one was the Royal Mail ship, the Baltic, of which Henry Jack Tattersall, the Chelmsford gentleman, was the radio operator, or shall we say the wireless operator in those days. And he received the message, told his captain, who swung his boat around and steamed back to where the collision had taken place. But don't forget, they're in fog. And he travelled 200 miles in 12 hours in a 10 square kilometer square, because they couldn't find each other, and he sent over 100 messages. There's no radar, of course, in those days, no GPS, and there were 12 hours before they actually made contact.
And this was the first time that this Marconi equipment had been used for such an important purpose.
Yes, indeed. Yes.
And as far as the rescue goes, all was well that ended well. I believe it's still the largest sea transfer of passengers, a huge number of people.
Yes, indeed. The 410 passengers from the Republic were transferred, first of all, onto the boat that rammed them, onto the Florida, because that was in a much more seaworthy condition than the Republic. But unfortunately, they found that that was taking in water, and so that was beginning to sink, because that had, of course, the 830 emigres on it, as well as now the 410 of the Republic. So they were all transferred by boat. It took 83 boatloads to transfer them onto the Baltic, which is where Henry Tattersall came into the story.
That was John Bowen from Chelmsford Amateur Radio Society, and we'll hear more from him about CQD and about how they're commemorating this important event 100 years ago at the Chelmsford Radio Society shortly here on the programme. 16 minutes past one. Tanya Powter and Bad Day. Well, let's go back to our conversation with John Bowen from the Chelmsford Amateur Radio Society about the amazing story of how the first ever wireless distress signal broadcast 100 years ago in the Atlantic Ocean helped to save the lives of over 1,600 people, and how two Chelmsford men were involved directly in that rescue. Well, the signal broadcast on that day was CQD, and I asked John why it was those letters in particular that were used.
Well, CQ was then, and is still now, the Calling All Stations International Code of Wireless Telegraphy, and D was distress, and the idea was that you sent it as a group together so that it alerted anybody, and from that day until relatively recently, there was a silent period in which if anybody was in distress, they could use this call sign. It was changed in 1906 and ratified in 1912 to SOS, which is, of course, what we all now are familiar with.
And is Morse still used a great deal today?
Yes, indeed. The amateurs are using it. The 29th of March this year, we get twice the amount of space on the 7 megahertz band for Morse.
Just tell us what you're doing over the next few days. I understand you've got a big event going on this weekend involving Morse, running from Chelmsford. So tell us about that.
Yes, what we're doing is we're trying to contact all the stations who have a responsibility towards the Jack Binns event. Jack Binns was born in Peterborough, and he was brought up in Scunthorpe, so those two stations are live. And, of course, the Lizard Radio station down in Cornwall is very active. That was used, of course, by Marconi for his first transatlantic experiments and used until quite recently as a radio station for ships.
So what's the message that you're actually broadcasting?
Well, we're trying to contact them to begin with and then to send greetings messages and to remind the world that this was, as you said quite correctly, the largest transfer of passengers at sea ever. 1,660 people were rowed across the ocean in the middle of the night, in the winter and in the fog and rising seas off the eastern coast of America.
And do you know how many people will be listening to your message? How many responses you're likely to get?
We've got a list of about 40 stations that we're hoping to contact. And Virginia Binns, the granddaughter of Jack, is actually giving a lecture in a few hours' time at Cape Cod in America to a large audience there.
Fantastic. So an important day, an important weekend in Chelmsford's history.
Well, it was, because it really was the turning point of the finances of Marconi. Marconi had stretched himself considerably, putting all these shore stations around the world. And, of course, in those days, safety at sea was never, ever considered. It was purely a commercial operation, sending messages to your loved ones or whether you wanted to buy some more shares and telling them what time that they can put tea on the desk. And the safety at sea was never considered really until this event.
Fantastic. Well, I hope you have an enjoyable weekend, John. Could we just hear a little more of the Morse before we go?
Yes, indeed. Andrew is actually sending CQD MKC, which is the call sign of the Royal Mail steamship Republic, and he said that we may need help.
Well, I hope nobody comes rushing for your sake. Thanks very much for joining
us. Thank you very much indeed. Bye-bye.
John Bowen there, who is from the Chelmsford Amateur Radio Society. And John also wanted to extend his thanks to a Dr. Bowles, who he says is the keeper of the Marconi Hut at Sanford Mill, who has accommodated them very well over the last day or so. And by the way, if you have a special interest in Morse code or are indeed a former radio operator, apparently you're more than welcome to visit Sanford Mill over the next 3 days from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. from now until Sunday. They would love to see you there.